So today is Pentecost Sunday. Today we remember when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. Let's pray together. God of power and all possibilities, with the flame of your Spirit, you give us energy to live in the world in Jesus' name. With the breath of your Spirit, you refresh us to engage life in all its complexity. Your Spirit embraces us in the place we find ourselves in life and work, and in us in love and in grace and in mercy. We praise you for your presence with us in every time and place. In this time of worship, send us the Holy Spirit once again. Renew us to serve you in the world that aches for the healing and wholeness you offer. God of mystery and all mercy, we confess we have not always paid attention to the urging of the Holy Spirit to follow you, your will, and your way. Too often we claim to belong to Jesus, yet we ignore his teaching. You created us to love one another, but we resist loving those who are different from us. Stir our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Transform who we are. Direct who we shall become through Jesus Christ's redeeming love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. What a blessed service this is, hey? Can you feel the energy? Man. Amen. Can I just get all the confirmees and the mentors to please come and join me up on stage? This is the 11th year I've been involved with confirmation. This is by far the biggest group. I've had 5 confirmed before. 1 year, this is 7. It's been an absolute blessing. You're not going to hear from me for long. I don't want to hog the stage at all, and it's a long enough service. There's lots going on. But I just want to just very quickly, there's lots of people in the church that are new. There's lots of people who are visiting as well. And many people don't fully understand what these people behind me have gone through. It's it's a 13-week process. There's a booklet to follow. There's a whole lot of content in there, and it goes through the basic tenets of the Christian faith. So you look at the Bible, you look at baptism, you look at worship, you look at God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and all of these are chapters in the book. So they spend a couple of hours a week going through that, and they also go through the book of Luke, which happens to be, I think it's 23 chapters, so do the maths, pretty much 2 chapters a week. And it's a wonderful thing. So it's grounded in the life of Jesus, given that you go through one of the gospel books as well. And it's one-on-one. As you can see, that's the power of this mentoring process. It's a one-on-one process. And they get to open up to someone who's not in their family. Always choose same gender, because it's important just from a perspective of understanding where that person might be coming from. And it's a wonderful process. Every year I've had many, many blessings out of helping to lead this, putting people together, praying beforehand as to who God might lead me to ask as a leader, as a mentor, to come into someone's life and mentor them for a period of time. And it's a mentorship process through confirmation, and then they are entitled to continue. There's a bond that gets formed. There's no prescription here. There's a process that they've gone through. There's a journey they've walked. And if they continue walking that journey for many years, then that's entirely up to them. So it's a wonderful thing. But God has sown seeds through the years as to this person needs to be mentored by that person. There have been times I've had to call people literally with a few days before confirmation starts and say, I really need a mentor, and I feel that you're the right person. And I've seen amazing miracles through the years, and wonderful relationships started. So I just wanted to let you all know what these people have gone through, what they've done in the last 13, 14 weeks or so. I also really want to thank my mentors in particular. There's 2 people standing up here who have mentored for me twice over the years, and I really do appreciate that. But I appreciate the time and effort and energy that goes into it. So thank you guys. Really do thank you a lot. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the mentors stepping up as well. And they give of their time and their energy and their money sometimes and petrol and all of that. And it's just it's so important as part of the process. So I'm using it also as an advert for future people who want to be confirmed, future people who want to mentor as well. and feel that God is really tugging at their heart to say, be a mentor one day. It's a wonderful process. So what we do now, we each of the groups is going to come up. They're allowed to just, this is open season. I say, you're allowed the mic to come and tell people what you've enjoyed about confirmation or what your journey has meant to you. So it's a testimony to people before we do the formal vows. And it's wide open. They can sing a song like Amy and Joe did. I'm not sure everyone's going to pull that off. But people can just come and share what it's meant to them. So that's what this little part of the service is about. So thank you. We'll start here. Hang on. Hold on. You want to turn that on? Okay. We'll start that side. How's that? Okay. I got a withering look. That's just one thing. So, as I said, it's open. It's open to them to share. There's some people who are not necessarily comfortable sharing in front of a big crowd, hence the withering look just now. That's all good. And so it's not prescriptive. It's not they don't have to share, but it's more just giving people the opportunity to do so if they want to. Cool.
Good morning, church. Just confirming I'm short. And I was mentoring someone taller than me. Pastor knows it's a mistake to give me a mic to be the first one. I will try and keep my speech short like a miniskirt, but I will try to cover the whole subject. Mine is not a speech this morning. It's just to say thank you, especially to the church. Ross, I don't know where he's gone to. Oh, there he is. For giving me an opportunity to experience this process called confirmation process. It's a course that was meant to take about 3 months, 13 weeks, that was. Mine is a testimony, to be honest, because when Ross called me that week, it was the toughest week of my life, I would say. I've had tougher times, but the testimony is that in this church, I think 2 years back or 1 year back, someone blessed me with a beautiful car, and I lost that car in an accident. And lucky I had insurance, so I got another one. And that week, someone hit my car bad that was written off, and Ross caught me 4 days after that. So you might, I don't know if you experienced that, but it was tough for me. And he gives me a call, and I was thinking he's going to talk about the car. And he did talk about the car. He spoke about the car, how are you doing and all of that. And then he asked me to mentor someone. And in that kind of a headspace, you don't want to accept that because you are going through a tough time. And I've always wanted to be a person who is stronger in times like that. But I've always believed that, you know, as a family church and as a congregation, is that we all have responsibilities that God has given us. And Ross was given that responsibility to call me by God, I believe. And I knew that if I said no, I wasn't saying no to Ross or the team that runs the process of confirming people, I was saying no to God. So I've always said yes when it comes to issues that relate to the church, because it's God who places us in positions. So my testimony is that I said yes amid the issues and problems that I had, I was going through a lot of questioning, why would a blessing be taken away? And that blessing is not gone. I still have it. And we went through the confirmation, understanding that it's not me mentoring this young man. It's God, and he's using me. And my testimony is that the 13 weeks can be challenging because God gave us a gift. And a lot of us believe that that gift is life. I would want to just twist it a little bit to say it's not life, it's time. God gave us a perfect gift called time. And if we can change the world, we can do it by appreciating the gift of time. Is that God gave us the time to live with purpose. That's why I said each one of us here has got responsibility to use the time that God has given you to do what God wants you to do. That's why it's very important to obey God, because in that obedience, you find your purpose. You know, when Samuel was called 3 times, he reported to the wrong person, to the king. But the king said, just say, here I am. Send me God. And Samuel now hears the voice of God. We all are here to hear that voice. All we have to do is, here I am, send me. The most popular thing that the leader of the current administration, I won't mention names, elections is just around the corner. When he was inaugurated, he said, Tuma Mina, which means send me. We need to cultivate that attitude. Unfortunately, politicians don't really have that attitude of Tuma Mina. But we are Christians that should stand here and say, Tuma Mina. And Ross, that particular day you called me, my answer was, Tuma Mina, send me. Because I believe as a church, sisonke, which means we're all in this together. And these young people here, I don't think they made that choice. It's God who has chosen them. You know why? Because for the end to come, this message, the gospel, has been preached all over the world. And this young fella here is my brother. I found out that his only challenge is that he doesn't like to speak in a group setting like this. So there were some challenging, you know, things that were brought in the process where we have to go somewhere and do something, and we kept it cool. When you said, Ross, I should mentor this man, it's just amazing because I didn't know this young man, Sakile. But when I met him, we just clicked in character, though. Because if you want to see another version of me, this is me when I was young. I was quite a cool dude. He is a cool dude. He's very calm, he's very focused, very intelligent. He knows what he wants. And that was me. Until I realized you don't get everything that you want in life. I wanted to be a lot. But this opportunity, Ross, and the church, is an opportunity for all of us to grow. I have grown exponentially, if I can use that word. I've grown so much spiritually because the gift that God gave me of time, I used it to at least help someone. And let me tell you, it's not that you know a whole lot, but it's just to stand and say to Mamina, as I said, it was a mistake to give me the mic first. This morning, let me keep it short like a miniskirt. I think I've kept it long like a dress. Sakili, today is not about us parting ways. You are a Manchester, I'm a Manchester. I'm a Manchester United, it's a Manchester City. So it's an oldie person to a newbie person. Today I want to tell you, keep your light shine. And for you to do that, I give you a torch. Keep your light shine and let Jesus shine through you. We'll talk more to be continued. Thank you very much.
Good morning. What can you say after that? just my mentorship experience. God had his hand on me when I was allocated Luyanda as my mentor, or to mentor. I had never mentored anyone in my life, so I was stepping out in faith. Luyanda is a humble young man, blessed with many amazing talents. He's a custodian at the school. We call them prefects, but they're custodians. He's a Natal School's hockey player. He's hardworking, doing his matric. And most of all, he's faithful to Jesus. I thank God for the privilege of getting to know Luanda and confirming the goodness of God through our time spent together. Ross asked us to make sure that our mentees are ready. Are we ever ready? Only by the grace of God, believing that our sins have been forgiven and dealt with in full on the cross, are we made ready. Leander, you are ready. Thanks for making time in your busy life for our meeting. Thank you.
One, two, one, two. Morning, everyone. I hope you all. So during this confirmation, I was blessed to have a youngly, fine man. He's still young in my eyes. But the experience was very good. He shared his wisdom and his experience with the journey that he's had with God, and then he shared it with me, and then I've learned new things from him, and it's truly inspired my relationship with God, and I feel like my relationship with God is stronger because of Mr. John Haynes, and I'd love to say thank you very much for your time. And I know you could have been doing golf and stuff like that in your free time, but you chose to come and mentor me and lead me through my relationship with God. And I want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm too. Not so good with a fan, but I brought something I wanted to read. I just want to introduce you. This is Inge Pile, and I'm Hetty Pringle. And yes, I've been on my own for some time, and I actually asked the Lord to give me something to do for him. And it was funny because Ross spoke to me here at church, and I was just about going down to George, where I've got my daughter and two of my sisters living there. And so he said, could I start And I said, no, listen, no, I'm sorry. I'm going away. And it was a period during which I've really struggled a lot with vertigo. So I was struggling to be able to drive and to... And then he asked me to mentor someone. And, you know, I didn't say to God, this isn't quite what I had in mind, but I didn't even recognize him in all of it. I was saying to Ross, you know, Ross, I'm going away, and I don't know if this could possibly, if I could fit. And anyway, then I met Inge Pile. And from the first day that we were together, there was something about her that I just loved. And it's actually interesting because I see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in this girl. She's sweet. She's very humble. And a few things that I could learn a bit from. And somehow we clicked. We did. And we could spend time together. Now, I wasn't quite formally following that book. That's not my character. So I looked at the headings, and I decided in some way we're going to fit in everything in this time that we have. And we adapted a few of the things. We both read through the book of Luke. But God gave me a scripture for Inge Pile. And here's the scripture. I know it, but I read it in any case. Oops, I'm shaking. It's Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one. Call me. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And he will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. So we started, listen, I'm not going to try and emulate Joe, but we always started our sessions with, I sang to Inge Pile. And I sang just as if I was God. And I said, Inge Pile, siyatanda, Inge Pile, siyatanda. That's about the full of my isiZulu. And and she was my friend. We could talk, we could laugh. We laughed about a lot of things. We could talk. And this very special girl has taught me a lot. And I hope I've taught her a few things, not too much, but one of the things that she said, can I tell you that you went all that kid on school? One of the things that Inge Pile told me was that she wasn't so keen on school. Well, that's very unusual, you know, as if we're all keen on school. But so I said, but she had dreams. And she said, shared some of the dreams, and I don't feel I want to share them with you. But I explained to her that don't focus where you are at the moment. Focus on what dream God gives you, and then work towards that dream. Because if you're going to focus on what you don't like, it spoils that whole experience. But if you're doing that for a purpose, and I told her that I was working in education, and at that stage in the guidance section, and we visited the jail in Westville, and the prisoners there did a play for us. And they were led by a guy that was the drama lecturer at Natal University. But the last day, the first thing that I remember from the prison is I couldn't believe that such nice people could actually be in the Maximum B prison. And then the last day we were there, we took scholars in, and they wanted to give them a message of how to not land where they've landed. And all the prisoners stood with their hands like starting the one on his knees and then each other one a little bit higher. And then one of the lighter prisoners came and climbed up on their hands until he got right to the top. And I shared this with Ingetile and just said that set a goal and then start where you are and climb up to the highest goal that you have. Okay, I was praying last night and I just got a scripture and I didn't feel like writing it all down, so I'm not very good on this phone, but if I can get it, I will read it to you. Okay, I've got it. And this was, it wasn't Pentecost, but it was a few days after Pentecost when John and Peter went to the temple and there was the man that was lame. And he was asking for money and he said, well, I haven't got money, but what I've got, I can give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And that's what happened. He stood up and walked. And I just saw there was a prayer for the people that were believing. Shoo. I think perhaps I'm emulating James and I'm talking too long. But it was wonderful because the Sanhedrin called him and they kept on questioning him and questioning him. And then they told them that they are never to mention the name of Jesus again. And Peter looked at them and he said, who should he follow? Should he follow what God says or should he follow what man tells him to do? And I think I'm actually just going to let you read this thing. I can't read this. And it is in Acts 5 from verse 23 to the end of that part. And where that was the people when he got back, the prayer that they prayed. And they glorified God for who he was and is and will be. And I would like to do the same with Ingetile here right next to me. We just want to glorify God. We want to glorify him for who he was through the life of all the people that he touched and his own people, for who he is now in all our lives, and for who he will be forever for all of us. And thank you very much for the opportunity. I must just, I don't want to read my resume, oops, sorry. But I wrote her a letter in the beginning and I thought, let me type this letter and make a bookmark with my face on. And just, I told her what I'd done. And then I said, one of the schools I worked in is your present school. As an elder, this is the part I wanted to say, as an elderly lady, I don't get a chance to deal with many young people. So I am so thankful for a chance to spend some time with you and getting to know you as we both learn more about Jesus and also the workings of our church. Looking forward to our time together. And I said regards, Hetty Pringle. But I would like to, there's one thing I'd like to change. I would like to change the regards to love. So this is the old letter. And I would say, love, Hetty. And I just want to say, not one word. Okay. Not one word, but I'm telling you, this girl has got a lot to say. And she is very special, but not today. Okay.
Let me not drop this now. Okay, one of the many things I learned in this course, many things, but one of them was how fast 13 weeks can actually go. I can't believe that we're standing here this morning, 13 weeks down the line, and it's Confirmation Sunday. It's gone too quickly, and that just means that we had a really awesome time together. It's exciting to be here today, and it's an incredibly special day for all these young people and mentors standing here, and you as a church family to witness what they have learned and experienced. A verse for all of you today to the confirmees, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. This verse has been on my heart for Amy throughout the course, and today I share it with all of you within the congregation, but also specifically for those getting confirmed today. God loves you, and he's called you each by name. To Amy, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being your mentor and walking this journey with you. Thank you to Tianet and Sean for lending me your beautiful daughter and entrusting me her to me for this time and for her confirmation, allowing us to take over your office and for the good coffee. I will probably find an excuse to come back next week. Amy, I've absolutely loved spending this time with you, seeing you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Christ, in your hope for the future. You're a shining light, and you're already blessed, and you are a blessing to others in the way that you already are serving in this church and in the greater body of Christ. At school, keep it up and always look and seek those opportunities to serve. The confirmation course is not just for the benefit of these young people, but also for the mentors. And I know, James, a few of the mentors have already challenged that if you get the opportunity in the future, pray into it. If God is calling you to that, take it with both hands. It's an incredible journey, and everyone is blessed by the process. Reading through Luke together was great. So many stories that we already knew so well, but to dive into the Word as two different generations is really great, and both parties learn from that. I'll end off with a quote from Christine Kane. It says, "You are capable of so much more than you realize, and called to a faith adventure, to be salt and light in the midst of darkness and bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven." Thank you.
I did a speech. I'm doing a speech, but okay. I know you all might be used to me standing up on stage, and you probably think that it is a breeze standing up here talking, but it's not. I don't like talking in front of large crowds, and the difference between singing and speaking is that there is no music to help you, no beat, note, or sound to accompany you. It's just you. And life can be like that. You're surrounded by people, friends, family, but when it's time to be just you, it can be pretty daunting. Humans were never meant to be alone. That's why Adam had Eve, Jesus had his disciples, and I have Joanne Gibson Taylor. I could never have done this course alone, and she has been such an amazing mentor. She is my music, my note, my beat, and God is the composer. Reading through Luke, his word has taught me so much, and I feel like I've come closer to knowing him. And on that note, some words about blessings have been on our hearts, and I think, yeah. This is a quote from a song which we actually sang, and the words are 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings and all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the detail, the more of your goodness I find. We must also be joyful and happy and thankful in the small things we get in life. But we are always going on about these huge blessings that we forget about the small ones. God has blessed us beyond what we could ever imagine or comprehend. Don't lose faith in the small things or hope in the little miracles. And confirmation is not a small blessing, it's a big blessing. But to have a sibling, a family member, or an incredible church and wonderful mentor, you should thank God for that. I have so many blessings in my life and so many people to thank for. For example, if it weren't for my mom's job with Uncle Ross, we would never have had been invited to this church. I would never have had such an awesome church family, and I would never have had this opportunity to be here right now doing this terrifying speech and be baptized and have done confirmation if it weren't for the job my mom had. That is a blessing in my life happening right now. Everyone should do confirmation, from being a mentor to being the mentee. This is such a blessing to have, and you should all do it. I just want to say a huge thank you to Auntie Jo and how she's guided me and helped me through this course. Thank you.
morning church. Is everyone awake? Right. So when Ross approached me to be a mentor, I was a bit put out because he viewed me as an old member of the congregation. But I willingly accepted. When he mentioned it was Jason, it was too late to pull out. It hit me that I was three times Jason's age. So I suppose, Ross, you did have a point. So we started each session at a bar, a coffee bar, that is, yeah? So Saturday morning, 8 a.m. at Juma for coffee and breakfast. Every man needs to eat. It was a common trait we both had. So once we had sorted out our hunger, we went to my place to continue our studies. And the first couple of sessions were eerily quiet from Jason's side. All I got was a couple of grunts and a few one-syllable responses, but that was it. Just caveman language, yeah. I was seriously concerned that his parents had wasted their money sending him to a private school. I didn't know if he could read either. He went to read Luke. By session three, much to my relief, he was talking in full sentences. We discussed the important things in life, like how he likes a steak bride, you know, what sport he enjoys, and of course girls, in that specific order. And in case you want to know, I like my steak medium. Jason likes his rare, so rare a good vet could bring it back to life. And like the rest of his family, Jason is a natural sportsman. I myself was useless at sport in school, couldn't kick or hit anything. In fact, at that stage, I was so bad, I probably couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat. On the topic of girls, let's just say he has no concerns. The more we progressed on the course, the more Jason reminded me of myself at his age. Not just easy on the eyes. But a humble, quiet, disciplined, intelligent, unassuming, serious young man. And I was pleased to discover that this young man already had a deep faith in Christ. We flew through the sessions. He was that good. All I could add was encouragement and to share my faith journey that, remember, is three times longer than his. And this is what I believe it means to be a mentor. We have had the life experience and the proof of faith through our journey that we can share with the youngsters. It is us affirming that, yes, this faith is real and relevant. His strong faith is also a testament to his upbringing. Andrew and Bronwyn have done a great job. Well done, Mom and Dad. And yes, even his younger sister, Sarah, had an impact. Not to forget his grandparents, who play a vital role in his life. Well done, guys. Lastly, I take great joy in knowing that Jason's identity is in Christ, not in his peers, not in his sports, not in his good looks. He's standing on the rock, and there is no better place to be than standing as he starts the adventure and journey that God has ordained for his life. Jason, it was a privilege to be your mentor. If you ever need to chat or your mother isn't feeding you, give me a call, and we'll meet at Juma.
Morning, church. I'm just going to read a bit about my confirmation journey with Mike as my mentor. This has been an amazing experience in my faith journey, where I was able to gain a new perspective from Mike on the various topics that we spoke about. Through this experience, I've come to know Jesus more through leaning into his word and learning more about his character. I'd like to thank Mike for being my mentor and always sharing about what God has done in his life. I'm ready to take this step in my faith journey and will continue to strengthen my relationship with my Father in heaven throughout my life. Thank you.
Right. God is good, and God set us up perfectly, I think, as a couple. We had never met before, but it didn't take us long to find out that we had both grown up in the same church, lived in the same road in Glenwood. We both had photography and reading at the top of our list of hobbies, and we both loved ABBA. ABBA Father, but also ABBA Music. So we had a lot in common, and Gillian was just so lovely and easy to work with. I've really grown to love her and her family. We spent a lot of time in coffee shops too. I had to fight the one waiter off her the one day. He didn't want to leave us alone. But yeah, it was great. As we worked through, we had our Bibles and we'd pray and chat through the questions. And yeah, Gillian was just, because she's young, we can actually beat Mark and Jason. We've got 57 years between us. So it was just so refreshing. And yeah, it was probably the highlight of my last 3 months. But just one other thing I want to share. In the course, they suggested that we visit a saint in the church and learn something from them. So as in that we're all saints, if we are true believers, so we chose to visit Saint Sandy and Saint Neil, and it was just the most outstanding morning that we spent with them. I mean, Brian preached on perseverance last week, but that is the story of their life, just perseverance and courage. But we also just picked up such an attitude of gratitude in them, which is incredible, and also just a sense of humor and a joy of the Lord. So I just honor these two. And for those who don't know, they've both taken part in the Olympics in Israel and Germany. So anyway, a real privilege to be with Gillian and on this journey with her. So thank you, Gillian.
I am much shorter. Greetings. Yeah, mixing. I came into these confirmation classes with no expectations, ready to receive whatever God had planned for me. I was not disappointed. I was already blessed with having been raised in a Christian home, but I got to gain so many new perspectives from this experience. I got to see Christ through someone else's eyes and grow through them. I made connections I may never have made on my own. Thank you to my wonderful mentor, who was just as nervous as me to meet someone new. You have helped me grow in my knowledge and wisdom, and I am so grateful for the long-lasting friendship I have gained. I hope to take these lessons with me as I continue my walk with Christ.
Good morning. Before I get into what I'm going to say, I would just like to offer a word on behalf of Ben as well to Ross. And thank you, Ross, so much for making this confirmation course happen. I think I speak on behalf of the church when I thank Ross for facilitating this ministry. Thanks, Ross. I learned an enormous amount over the last 3 months in working with Ben. And I've been able to summarize, with some difficulty, I've been able to summarize this experience in six fairly short points. So for those of you who are taking notes, this should be quite easy. First of all, it's important for you to know that the Gibson Taylors live on the side of a mountain. Their driveway is just short of vertical. So, point number one, if you ever are invited to the Gibson Taylors, have your own gate remote to get yourself in. It saves on an enormous amount of time, on wear and tear on your brake pads, as well as your clutch. Point number two, if you are wanting to communicate with them via WhatsApp, allow for about a 7-day response time. Point number three, don't ever leave anything edible in their house. It will either be eaten by an animal or by a teenager. But point number four, you will receive a most sincere welcome, second to none, from all members of the family, including the four-legged ones. You'll be treated like royalty in their home with a hot cup of tea or a drink, and believe me, you will become part of a very special family. But now onto my journey with Ben. They say that if a child is born in a garage, it doesn't automatically turn into a motor car. And in the same way, if a child is born in a Christian home, he or she doesn't automatically grow up as a God-fearing, parent-obeying, Ten Commandments follower. But in some cases, he does. My journey into Ben's 13-week preparation for this confirmation was made so smooth and free of potholes and stray animals due to the solid and clear Christian values and beliefs with which he's been raised. Well done, Joe and Bev. From the outset, it was quite clear that Ben had a clear understanding of the Bible's message and a simple but profoundly solid faith. I never had to evangelize or seek deep theological truths to answer Ben's questions or to steer his opinions. Ours was a time of discussion, sharing, and exploring what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. This led to questions from both sides relating to the challenges, both spiritual and other, faced by young people in a world of rapidly changing norms. While we oldies often lament the collapse of moral standards and the volume of the music they play and the spectacle of jeans that look as though they've been ravaged by a Rottweiler, while we pluck at our whitening hair and cluck our loosening dentures, I want to say, don't despair altogether. I promise you that there's hope, and I learned that because I listened to Ben. I would encourage church members, all church members, to avail themselves of this opportunity to take a confirmation journey with one of our young people. It's a rewarding and deeply moving experience, and the relationship can be immensely satisfying. Thanks, Ben, for allowing me into your home and into your kitchen, but mostly into your world. It's a good one. Ben, just as you do on those sheer rock faces that you love so much, keep looking up. God bless.
Okay. So just invite families to come stand with their young people if they'd like to, as we ask them to say their vows and as we pray for them. So if you are connected to any of these young people, you're welcome to come to the front. Just stand with your young person. Move a little bit forward. Move across the whole massive area here for people. Grannies, grandpas, cousins, I don't know, anybody, everybody, godparents, oh, I don't know, friends. There's lots of room here, folk. Just don't trip over those guitars. Okay. And what I encourage you to do, church, as these young people say, I do, to these vows, is that you can say it as well. You know, this is a high point for us in our Christian journey. We celebrate with these young people, but we also reaffirm what we believe. We can say it again and again. Yes, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And so do that this morning. If you want to, just say, I do. Nice and loud with them. That's great. So young people, as you stand before God, I now ask you, do you turn away from sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, seeking his righteousness in your life and his justice and compassion in the world? Do you confess your faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the word of the words of the Apostles' Creed? Do you promise to be faithful members of the family of God, being diligent in public worship, in private prayer, and in the study of the Scriptures, and in every way you can, witnessing to Jesus Christ as Lord? Wow, it's getting better and better. I wish I had more questions. We'd be really knocking this roof off. Have to repair it sooner. So, thank you, young people. Thank you, mentors. Thank you, church. We pray now for you. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, bless these young people. Thank you, Lord, for the journey. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that has led and guided them and their mentors. Thank you, Lord, that you have given them this place to be in and that you've invited us to be a part of the journey that has led them to this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. And we know that as they go, you are with them. And we will always be a part of this journey with them. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your love, and your grace. Come now, Holy Spirit. Bless them, bless the mentors, the parents and families represented, and also us as a church, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.